Blog Talk Radio.
It's Hispanic Heritage Month, and we celebrate Rafael Torres as an entrepreneur who is living the American dream. The Colombian-born owner-operator of Don Quixote Tours runs a 20-year-old destination tour company that serves its clients in Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and French. Rafael travels the world finding and signing up his clients to enjoy the sights and sounds of Boston in their own language. We'll also highlight 9 different ways that you can demonstrate your diversity champion spirit by becoming a citizen in action. We'll decide and discuss why these options are important and how you can get involved no matter how busy you are, how stressed out you are, or how many other commitments you have on your plate. Put on your thinking cap and let's cover the world on today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. I'm so glad to be back on the air. It's kind of busy for me this season, so we're not going to be on next week. We'll be on the following week, and when we're on, we bring you really good shows. We're also giving a big shout-out to our friends at Amtrak, who are always very supportive and sponsor our endeavors. So thank you so much for all that you're doing with the activities that we have on board with the Multicultural Symposium Series and my book, and this radio broadcast. This is really a delight to have them to be so helpful, so supportive in all that they do. Well, again, it's a very, very busy season. I want to first let you know that we definitely are taking reservations now for our April cruise. We'll blink and it'll be the spring and you'll wonder, where can I go for vacation? Well, you can go with us, travel with us aboard the wonderful Celebrity Cruise Line on a brand new ship called Reflections. 8 days, 7-day cruise. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. On April 13th to the 20th of 2013, on board will be a leading expert now in Caribbean culture and tradition. She will help us as we navigate from port to port. We go from the port of Puerto Rico and then travel on to St. Martin's and then to St. Kitts, and that is Dr. Ada McKenzie. So you're going to have fun. You're going to have a chance to eat lots of delicious food and visit the ports that you just read about, and maybe you've been there once and you want to go back again. Well, you can come with us on this wonderful Cultural Caribbean cruise, April 13th to the 20th. All the information about it, it's only a $250 down payment. The other rates can be just squared away on a monthly payment basis, and you can go to mssconnect.com, that's mssconnect.com, to find out more information about our upcoming cruise in April. Also, my next 6th conference, it's hard to believe, 6 years, not 6 years, but actually 6 different events since 2008, and we're now looking at October 25th, that is Thursday, October 25th, for our next multicultural conference. We are partnering again with UMass Boston. They are there to support and help us in all that we do with the Multicultural Symposium Series. Our very special keynote speaker in the morning will be the provost, the chancellor of the campus. Dr. Keith Motley will bring us really warm and engaging words of welcome. And then we'll hear from Michelle Schell. She is the chair of the board for the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. We're really going to look at this whole topic of hospitality, tourism, and multiculturalism by having Michelle on board. It's a very important, it's actually the third largest industry in Massachusetts. Tourism is big. And we're going to talk to Michelle Schell as she delivers a powerful keynote address. I am going to be the luncheon keynote speaker because I am excited because we're celebrating 25 years in business in October, and so I'll have some special words of wisdom to share with those who are going to be on board. We have many speakers lined up with our distinguished panels and our roundtable discussion individuals, so I will tell you more about that in the coming weeks, but you can go. The information is already there. You can go and register at mssconnect.com and click on to the October 25th conference link. All the information is there, and then you can sign up on board. It's going to be very, very exciting. So we have lots of things going on. And speaking of a very busy person who travels the globe, it is Hispanic Heritage Month, and I wanted to, instead of just talking historically about the significance of Latinos and Hispanic individuals in this country, I wanted to bring on a real live entrepreneur who is just a mover and shaker in his own right. From September 15th through October 15th, because of an authorized proclamation that took place in 1968, Congress authorized President Lyndon Johnson to proclaim National Hispanic Heritage Week, that's now evolved into Hispanic Heritage Month. And it observes during the week, including September 15th through October 15th, to really pay tribute to the many individuals, the cultures, the traditions of those whose roots are in Spain, Mexico, and the Spanish-speaking nations of Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. And they chose September 15th for very good reason. It was chosen because it collaborates and it ties in with the independence of five Latin American countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. In addition, Mexico and Chile celebrate their independence days on September 16th and September 18th, respectively. So talking about Hispanic culture, business, entrepreneur activities, and just a dynamic life that he has with his family and the work that he does, I am so glad that Rafael Torres, who is the owner-operator of Don Quixote Tours, is my guest today. Hello, Rafael. Hola. Welcome to the show.
Carol, thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you. And hello to everyone who is listening to your well-known radio programming.
Thank you much. Now, you have a very busy day. I understand you have some dignitaries, 200 of them, who are coming in from Latin America. Tell us about what your day is going to be like once you get off the air with me.
Well, yes, thank you for asking. Yeah, by the way, as soon as we finish the radio talk, I'll be heading to the airport. I'm meeting a very large group of executives from a very well-respected insurance company in South America, and it's a group of over 250 people that they're coming here for fun and entertainment. So, yes, indeed, I will be quite busy.
Ah, very much so. So walk us through. I know what a destination company is simply because I've traveled to Kenya, and we had a destination company there who picked us up from the airport, took us around, and so they were our escorts and our guides while we were in that wonderful country. Do you operate the same way as a destination company here in Boston?
Yes, exactly, exactly. That is my homework. That's exactly what I do. My responsibility is once people landed in Boston, make sure that they're welcome. We meet them at the airport, transfer to the hotels, and make sure they have scheduled tours in the city or outside the city of Boston. Practically in this New England region that is very rich and a very beautiful land that we have in America. And I just make sure that they enjoy it and they learn a lot of the history that we have. So, yes, we're in charge of many occasions of booking the hotels, the transportation, theater, dinner events, sport events, and so forth. And their language or their culture, which is the key player on this, the language and the culture.
Right. So, again, these are, in this case, business executives, probably spouses will be with them, perhaps, or you have had groups where families will come or a husband and wife will come, and you will actually conduct the tour and escort them around the city in their language, either Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, or French. And that's, I think, is the unique thing about your company as a destination tour company. How did you get started, Rafael, in this business? How did you know that there was a market for this and that Boston was the place to really do it?
Well, the first thing is that I really enjoy this kind of work. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy to this public relations deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I went through, several processes. And part of the process, I did a survey. This is like 25 years ago, day-to-day survey from hotels, from tour operators, from many other individuals who work in this industry. And it's my own survey and to figure out if it was really need or not, if it was worth it or not to start a company to provide tools in different languages, in particular, obviously, the Spanish is my major and principal language. So after that, I really discovered that, yes, we have a need. We could provide the services, and I took it from there. We contract lawyers and equipment, and we went to the city and get all the permits that is required. And after that, we've been doing bigger and better, little by little, step by step. We have a little bit of drop down during the, Twin Towers situation, which it was a kind of disaster, but we back up again, and so far we have, they got an excellent reputation within the Latin American market and European market. But yes, that's what we do.
Well, yeah, what I think is remarkable is that your business has stayed steady and strong through 9/11 that you just referenced, the 2008 debacle in terms of our economy, but has the weaker dollar brought more international travelers into Boston for you to service? Do you see that kind of reverse dynamics going on?
Oh, yes. In terms of business-wise, I love to see the dollar weak.
We don't like to see that, but I understand what you're saying.
Dollar.
Right, right.
But having the dollar weak, in particular in Europe and in other countries, is to our benefit because people are not afraid to come to America and spend money. The euro or the money is stronger, so they can see more spending and more productive. So, yes, indeed, it's to our benefit.
Right, right. And you travel literally to Latin American countries. You also go to, I want you to tell us about Fitur, what that is. So you have to do a lot of your promotional work outside of the United States. Tell us the big markets where you go to these trade shows, set up, and share your services with those who can use them when they come to Boston.
Yes. Our strongest market, obviously, Europe. Again, Portugal, Spain, Italy, where the dollar is stronger, the money is stronger. So, yes, I do have to go to those trade shows. That's the only way or the best way or the most effective way for them to know about us. When I go to those trade shows, meet all the tour operators in those countries, shake hands, and let them know they would love to have them in Boston and explain exactly what we do, the kind of services, that we know their culture, that we appreciate their culture, and by, coming to Boston and having my services, they won't have no problem understanding and fitting into their vacation while in here. So, yes, I do go to those countries, like I say, in particular Spain. Fitur is a trade show that happens in the month of January in Madrid. It happens every year for the last 25 years, and I've been going for over 22 years every year to Spain, again, shake hands with everyone down there and promote Boston. The same, I go to Argentina, Buenos Aires, I go to Bogota, Colombia, I go to Mexico City, I go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and to those three shows, again, I don't mind to spend my own money out of my own pocket in here to really let people know how beautiful this land is and the quality of life that we have in the New England region, in particular Boston being one of the best cities in the world for education and medicine and technology and quality life in general.
And so what I'm hearing is that you're going to your customers where they are instead of just relying on brochures and telephone calls. You don't send a representative. You physically get on an airplane, go to Madrid in January, go to the other cities where these trade shows are going. And I also, you said something very significant. You've gone to Fitur for the last 22 years. So your presence at Fitur is familiar. People are comfortable with you, and the more comfortable they are with you, the more they want to do business with you.
Definitely. After so many years of being again and again and again in those trade shows, there's already a strong relationship, a strong trust and confidence of the business that we provide. People already know about us, so there's already, like I would say, a goodwill, a good understanding business-wise mm-hmm. with the tour operators in those countries. And so they rely on us. We trust that we will serve their clients with not, you know, failures or difficulties. So they send us the people here. So, yes,
right.
It's extremely important that you sit with them in there, shake the hand, look at the face, and say, yes, I can provide the service that you're looking for.
So, again, I mean, this to me is a very pragmatic way of multiculturalism on a global scale, because you're literally doing it with the various cultures, the countries, and the people, but ultimately it deals with relationships. You're building relationships with people in Madrid, in Italy, in other parts of the world, and then that translates to you ultimately doing more business with them. Did you ever believe when you were in Colombia before you moved to the United States that you would ever be involved in this kind of business? Does it blow
no,
your mind?
No, I never knew that. I was too, you know, I was still like a regular kid, the high school kid, and I wouldn't, you know, never thought that I would get involved with this. That developed that idea of getting into the tourism industry is something that happens while I'm here, while I'm seeing the services being done every single day on the streets, and then I look at those vehicles, I see the trolleys, I see the services, and I say, gee, you know, I'd love to do something like that. And, I try mm-hmm. in different other ways to get into that industry, but I couldn't. So finally I say, well, might as well get my own deal and start my own industry, and I'm sure I can do it, and I'm sure I can provide great services, and that's what I'll be doing, not just myself, but
right.
the whole family. You know, in this business that we have, it's a family-oriented business, and
yes.
for that I have my wife, my brother, my daughter, my sister-in-law, my nephews. They're all involved in this business, and they all support and help each other.
That's great. Well, I mean, that certainly is a classic way of a very successfully run, family-run business, but it fits in line with what we cherish about the Hispanic community. This is Hispanic Heritage Month, and do you have any words of wisdom for those, let's say, in the Hispanic/Latino community who are interested in entrepreneurship, Rafael?
Well, this land, New England, Boston, this the whole state of Massachusetts, still, there's plenty to do, plenty to grow, not just only in the tourism industry, but in medicine, technology. Just set up your own business in any field. Just follow the rules, follow the education, follow what you have to do correct. Well, not just a fast job, a quick job, but a well-done job, nice and slow. It doesn't matter how much it takes, but if you do quite slowly and careful, then you have a lot of potential. This is still, you know, we have the English, we have the German, we have the Irish, we have the Italian culture, we have many other cultures who came to America for American dream. Now, the next decade is the Hispanic potential. So we have a lot to do, and we can grow a lot stronger.
That's great. I want you to give your website. I know that you've got to dash off and pick up those 250 individuals
yeah.
who are flying into Boston. Your website is www.turismoinboston. That's TurismoInBoston.com. And obviously the website is in different languages, but you can click on the American flag and it'll pop up all of the English words that you can use to follow the videos and all of the other ways that you can learn more about Rafael Torres and Don Quixote. Rafael, thank you so much. I hope I got the website correct. Is that correct?
It is correct. I checked letter by letter and it's perfectly right. Well done. Perfect, Carol. You're always great. You know, your high standards are always shown, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and congratulations on the award that you received out in Western Massachusetts last week from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. The picture that my listeners will see on the websites, both the Blog Talk website and my blog website, have you with a happy, smiling face in this beautiful glass plaque that you have received, well-deserved, with all the work that you're doing, Rafael. Thank you so much.
Carol, have a great day, and every radio listener, enjoy the day and have a great day. Goodbye.
Great. All right. Take care. All the best to you. All right. Gracias.
Thank you to all. Thank you, Carol.
All right. Take care. Rafael Torres, just a great guy. He has such a great personality. And again, you talk about someone who's, you know, they've worked their way up. The family works very hard. And I think it was probably maybe several years ago before he could take a vacation going back home to Colombia with his whole family. Just had to work and save up. But he's living the American dream and is encouraging for so many others to do the same. So I would encourage you to check out his website, turismoinboston.com, TURISMOENBOSTON.com, and learn more about this business, being a destination tour operator. It's a very interesting and important business, and one that can be celebrated this Hispanic Heritage Month. Well, I'm going to switch gears now and give you nine different ways that you can become a real citizen of action, a real citizen of action that you can become by just doing certain things and learning how to volunteer. I think it's important for us now to understand the importance of volunteering as Americans, as citizens of the world, and giving our services, and there are different ways you can do it. Now, I'm expecting and I assume that everybody who's listening to this program is busy, or they've just retired and they just want to slow down a little bit, or they're just ramping up and they've just started a new job. So I know that we're all in our own space, and we all have things that we're doing and responsibilities on our plates. That's a given. But that does not excuse us from being active citizens in our own right. I really talk about this at length in my book. This is chapter 4 of my book. And it's about learning how to volunteer for culturally diverse nonprofit organizations. I'm going to give you the nine that are in the book. You can read all about it in my book. You can go to tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com, and you can read about the book. You can order it there, or you can order it at Amazon.com, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. But more than ever, the strength of our nonprofit organizations that have capacities for either volunteerism or getting involved, if in fact you are running a nonprofit organization, it's greater than ever just because the needs are greater than ever. The first one I talk about is the NAACP. That is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Now, I know in this day and time, we don't use the word colored people in the United States. It really is sort of passe, but for historical purposes, this organization is important. It is critically important from a political perspective. And all of these organizations are nonprofits, so they don't endorse candidates. They endorse ideas, issues, and policies that relate to their respective constituents. So just always keep that in mind. I am a member of the Boston branch of the NAACP. This organization was started in 1909 by a diverse group of people. So, again, I hear people who have misinformation about the NAACP. They don't know their history. You can read about the history in my book. But they are a social justice organization. They've always been multicultural. They focus on social justice for all people. And if something happens to you in your respective community or organization or job or whatever, you always have the NAACP to call on. They are a volunteer-run organization. So all of the positions except their staff in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, or if they actually own property and they have a staff person running that. But the inner workings of the organization, like Michael Curry, who was the president of the NAACP here in Boston, they are all volunteers. They work in a regular job. In his case, he's an attorney, and they do this because it is an important thing to do. You can go to NAACP.org. Membership is under $50, but the enormous influence that the NAACP has is just astounding. So that's number one. I'm going to run through these, but again, you can read them in my book. The next organization, if you are a CEO of your own nonprofit organization, if you are running, if you are an administrator with an a nonprofit, I would consider joining the American Society for Association Executives. It is an organization, a nonprofit, but it helps leaders and administrators to run their own organization more effectively by being a part of ASAE. They have more than 22,000 associations, 22,000 CEOs, staff professionals, industry partners, and consultant members. And their website is asaecenter.org. ASAECenter.org. The next organization is the League of United Latin American Citizens, otherwise known as LULAC. LULAC is the Hispanic version of the NAACP. It is also a social justice civil rights organization, and their website is www.lulac.org. LULAC.org. They were founded in 1929, and they are the largest and the oldest Hispanic organization in the United States, and they advance economic conditions, educational attainment, political influence, health, and civil rights of Hispanic Americans through community-based programs that operate in more than 900 LULAC councils nationwide. The next organization is the National Council of La Raza, and that's www.nclr.org. All of these organizations have some capacity where you can volunteer, and that's why we're doing this. And the National Council of La Raza is the largest national Hispanic civil rights and advocacy organization in the U.S., and they work to improve opportunities for Hispanic Americans. Very similar to LULAC, but again, different focus, but on a parallel path in terms of social justice and advocacy. They have 300 affiliated community-based organizations, and they reach millions of Hispanics in 41 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. That's nclr.org, nclr.org. Next is ALPHA. ALPHA stands for, more of an accountant-based organization, but they have expanded, and they are a business organization for business professionals and students, not necessarily of Latino or Hispanic descent, because I'm a member of ALPHA, so anyone can join. They have 19,000 members, but they are more business-focused. They are the largest Latino organization for business professionals and students, with chapters nationwide and 19,000 members. Their website is www.alpfa.org, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, A.org. Then there is the National Association for Asian American Professionals. I also am familiar with them. They have been a part of my conference. And they are, that is NAAAP.org. They are, again, focused on Asian Americans from a business perspective. They have chapters all over the United States and a terrific organization. Number seven is the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, and their website is www.adc.org. A-D as in discrimination, C as in committee.org. They actually were on, Warren David was a guest on my program several weeks ago, so I would say archive Blog Talk, my radio listings, and you will hear a fascinating show about this wonderful, wonderful organization, www.adc.org. The next organization, number eight, is the Native American Indian Organization. That's the National Congress of American Indians, www.ncai.org. And this was started in 1944 in response to termination and assimilation policies in the United States that forced upon the tribal governments, in contradiction to their treaty rights and status as sovereign. Deals with everything related to the nations in the United States in the American Indian diaspora. So again, www.ncai.org. And lastly is the National Urban League. It's a historic civil rights organization dedicated to empowerment. That's nul.org. I got them all in, www.nul.org. 9 ways that you can get involved as a citizen. Have a great show, and we will have a great week, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye-bye.